I believe it's time for us to finish our...
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Alabama Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore leading Democrat Doug Jones in the latest poll on that race from CBS News, showing Moore leading Jones 49% to 43% among people who say they are likely to vote in the December 12th election. That is, President Trump throws his formal support to Moore, posting on Twitter this morning that the fact not a single Senate Democrat supports the GOP tax plan is, quote, why we need Republican Roy Moore to win in Alabama. Democrat Jones says Moore is what's been wrong with Alabama politics in recent years.
We've seen a governor removed. Members of the legislature get sentenced. We've seen a chief justice removed for a second time. Now he wants to use that as a promotion. That just doesn't make sense to me.
National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster is saying the chance of war with North Korea rises every day and every time the North tests a missile or nuclear bomb. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you wearing contacts or glasses right now? Imagine this, opening your eyes tomorrow to 20/20 vision. No daily contacts or glasses needed. It can happen, and it is affordable. TLC Laser Eye Centers wants to help as many people as possible achieve 20/20 vision, so they're offering a fantastic price on their premium LASIK experience. TLC uses the latest FDA-approved all-laser LASIK technology, and for less than what you might think. Find out if LASIK is right for you. Call TLC now for a free consultation. 800-978-1515. Be one of the first 50 listeners to call today and get $400 off your all-laser LASIK procedure. That's a savings of $200 per eye. TLC Laser Eye Centers has over 20 years' experience and performed over 2 million procedures. Let our team help you. For your free consultation, call now. 800-978-1515. 800-978-1515. 800-978-1515. Results may vary.
Drugstore giant CVS is buying Aetna Insurance in a $69 billion deal. The announcement coming late yesterday after the boards of both companies unanimously approved it. CVS says combining the two companies gives it a unique chance to give people access to high-quality health care at a lower cost. President Trump is targeting the FBI in a new round of tweets, as we hear from Mark Mayfield.
The president said he didn't ask former FBI Director James Comey to end an investigation into the conduct of his dismissed National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. He tweeted, "I never asked Comey to stop investigating Flynn. Just more fake news covering another Comey lie." Earlier on Sunday, the president put out this tweet. After years of Comey with the phony and dishonest Clinton investigation and more running the FBI, its reputation is in tatters, worst in history. But fear not, we will bring it back to greatness.
And from tweeting to texting, the first text message was sent on this date in 1992. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root with a confession to make. I wear my blue blocker sunglasses everywhere. How good are blue blockers? First, America's astronauts using the same formula wore them in outer space. And over 20 million pairs have been sold throughout the world. 20 million! Blue blockers provide the best eye protection you can own. And you can't even break the lens with a hammer. Here's a great holiday offer. Call toll-free now to order one pair for $29.95 or two pairs for $39.95 plus shipping. The perfect Christmas gifts. Just call toll-free 800-722-7777. That's 800-722-7777.
Several thousand people letting President Trump know what they think of his decision to shrink several national monuments in Utah. Protesters gathered at the Utah State Capitol building in Salt Lake City over the weekend, showing their opposition to the move. The Utah State Patrol estimating the crowd at 4,500 people. Supporters of the size reduction for the Bears Ears and Grand Staircase monuments holding a much smaller counter rally in San Juan County on Saturday to thank President Trump, who's expected to sign the executive order to shrink the monuments at the state capitol later on today. Stock market analysts are abuzz about the Dow Jones Industrial Average passing a milestone last week. Lisa Carter has more.
A prominent Wall Street analyst says the Dow isn't done rising after closing above 24,000 for the first time Friday. Jeremy Siegel told CNBC the Dow is set to blow past 25,000, possibly this week. He says the corporate tax cut both the House and Senate have approved could boost earnings and stocks. Siegel says the current pace of gains won't last forever or even very long into next year. He sees returns of single digits in 2018.
And the pairings for the New Year's National Semifinal Playoff Bowl game games are set as Clemson and Alabama will play in the Sugar Bowl, Georgia and Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl, and the winners will play for the national title on the 9th of January. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Weather this afternoon, partly sunny with a high near 50, light east wind. Tonight, a slight chance of showers after 4 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 38. Southeast wind 3 to 6 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 20%. Tuesday, showers likely, mainly after 2 p.m., cloudy with a high near 58. Southeast wind 8 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 70%. New precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. Tuesday night showers, low around 42. Southeast wind 7 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 100%. New precipitation amounts between a half and three quarters of an inch possible. Wednesday, a chance of showers mainly before 9 a.m. Partly sunny with a high near 47. West wind 9 to 13 miles per hour with gusts as high as 25 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 30%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible.
Well, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And we are part of NAMI, and this is NAMI's Hour, compliments at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses, and as a lot of people have told me, you don't have a traffic jam going from the dining room to the kitchen, so I guess that's a good thing. But what we try to do is we try to help people who either have someone in their family or someone they know or someone that they work with or whatever who have a mental illness. And we also try to help people who have a mental illness get the services they need. We do this in various ways. One of the ways we do it is we teach a 12-week course called Family to Family, and it covers medications, side effects, what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say in certain circumstances. And everything is free. There's no charge. All you have to do for the classes is to register. But all the binders and, you know, paraphernalia that we give out is all free. We also teach a basics course, which is for families who have children under the age of 18 who may have some type of disorder, mental health disorder. And we run a support group third Thursday of every month from 7 to supposed to be 8:30, but it usually winds up to be 9 or so, depending on how many people are there. And that's all free. You don't have to be a member of NAMI or anything like that to, you know, either take the courses or go to the support group. Support group's held at 52 East Main Street in Flemington. If you have any questions or want to know more about any of the things that we do, you can reach out to us at 908-284-0500. We don't man the phone 24/7, but we do have a great young lady who answers it or checks it out twice, at least twice a day, and we guarantee we will get back to you. So that number is 908-284-0500. Today we are very privileged to have with us Ella Rue, who is involved greatly in 52 Reasons to Love a Vet, which we will get back to that in a second, and Bill Healy. Healy, right?
Healy.
Healy. I said it right the first time and screwed it up the second time. from the Hunterdon Healthcare Foundation, and he's the director and donor community relations. And we'll have to find out what that means in a minute. But Ella and I and her husband, Bob, we met at the Veterans Fair at the Medical Center. And we both had tables there, and I was just happening to walking around, and I stopped and, you know, thought what you do was very interesting. So if you could, would you tell us what 52 Reasons to Love a Vet is exactly, and how did it get started?
Sure. My son, Justin, is a two-time veteran, served overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan. Upon his return from Afghanistan, to deal with all of the baggage that he was dealt with, he turned to drinking, and he ended up in a rehab. And while he was in rehab, he ended up with MRSA. So the rehab sent him to the VA hospital, and while he was in the VA hospital, this was when he was turning 26, and he was Army National Guard. So at the time, he was still on my insurance, but on his 26th birthday, as according to the Affordable Care Act, he was coming off my insurance. Mm-hmm. And he was in full-blown medical quarantine with open sores, and the VA turned him out and said that they were no longer responsible for him, and they did not see his MRSA condition or any of the other conditions related to his service, and that they were not responsible for him. So at the time, I served on the Board of Trustees at Raritan Valley Community College, and on the Board of Trustees is Bob Wise, who is the CEO of Hunterdon Healthcare. And as any mother would do who had any kind of connections, I called him in a panic, and I asked him if he would help my son, which he did. He said he'd have his top infectious disease specialist take care of Justin. So Justin was no longer in a dire situation, but what occurred to me was there's a lot of other Justins out there with mothers who don't know the CEO of the local hospital and don't know where to turn if their child is being denied the services that they are.
And you know, it's ironic. When I came back from Vietnam, there was nothing. You know, it was like now it's post-traumatic stress disorder. Back then they called it, you know, shell shock. You know,
and really wasn't recognized.
Right. And it wasn't. And, you know, look today, how many just taken Vietnam vets who are homeless, living on the streets, out of trash cans and such, because they can't get the help that they need. And even today, and it's come a long way since back then, you know, but it's still not far enough,
right.
You know. And that's the sad part, you know.
So 52 Reasons to Love a Vet actually came about when, once I realized that Justin was okay, I started to think about all the other Justins out there. And I am very good friends with a lot of very well-renowned artists. So I approached these artists and asked them, if I were to able to put together a show, would they create and donate a piece of art that was an editorial piece of art that had to do with either veterans, the military, wars, anything that they wanted, and part of the deal was I would not art direct any of that. I wanted it to be their individual voices. So my concept for 52 Reasons to Love a Vet is based on the deck of cards and the 52 playing cards.
I got that. That's about the only thing I did come up with. You know, that's 52 cards, 52 reasons. That makes sense.
So the face cards were all illustrated by illustrators from around the world, and the number cards all have facts and figures about the military on them. And then I took some of the samples of the artwork, and I went back to Bob Wise, and I said, if these people will create work, will you create a fund in your foundation that is for veterans, solely for education or for healthcare-related needs? And he said yes. And so that's how the fund came about. And from that, we created decks of cards, books and limited edition prints that are signed by the artists. And all of those pieces are for sale, and the money goes back into the fund. 100% of it goes back in and then goes back out to the veterans. And we've given out a significant amount of money, and we've raised a significant amount of money.
I got to ask, how did you know all these artists?
That's my trade, is I'm a graphic designer. I work at a university in Jersey City, and I've worked with a lot of these artists. And through my MFA, when I was working on my Master of Fine Arts, I met a lot of them. And I met them through each other and so forth. So it's just the circle.
Yeah, I was just curious because, you know, when I was talking to you at the Vets Fair where we met, it was like, you know, you were telling me about all these, you know, famous artists and so on and so forth. And I didn't ask because I had a lot of other things on my mind at the time. But I'm thinking afterwards, how does she know all these artists, you know?
Actually, like, the way it happened, I know everybody that was in the first round of the deck of cards, I know them personally and they're personal friends of mine. The show has traveled to a variety of places. It's been at the Hunterdon Art Museum. It's also gone to the Norman Rockwell Museum. While it was at the Norman Rockwell Museum, a number of artists who I don't know actually contacted me and wanted to be part of it. So we're now in the process of creating a second generation of deck of cards and book again. We're five artists shy of the next go-round. And in the next go-round, if you've heard the name Milton Glaser.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Milton Glaser did I Heart New York. He's going to be in this next go-round. He'll be on the back of the cards and the cover of the book.
And you also told me, if I'm not mistaken, that you guys do posters and stuff?
Yes, we have limited edition prints, posters, that are all signed by the artist, except for one artist who, unfortunately, he passed away before the production of everything. Yeah. Yes.
So when did you found this organization? How long has it been around?
2014.
Okay.
So it's been three years.
Your second deck of cards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Bill.
So you're probably wondering, why is this other dude on the show? I'm the new liaison from the foundation to 52 Reasons to Love of Death. This is only my second time getting together with Ella. We met shortly before Thanksgiving. We talked on the phone before that. It's really it's wonderful to see someone take a crisis and then a challenge and turn it into an opportunity. So I had a delightful opportunity to sit with Ella and with Bob a couple of weeks ago and talk it out, do a little brainstorming over a very lovely lunch at the Clinton House, and parry back and forth some ideas. So 52 Reasons to Love a Vet, as I will kind of say, is in but not of the Hunterdon Healthcare Foundation. We kind of help provide a structure for it, provide the home for the fund, and that money goes through the foundation and it gets turned back to veterans who are in need of help. Say, a veteran at Raritan Valley Community College who might need help paying for books or may need help paying co-pays for some sort of a medical procedure or any other challenge they may be facing in life. So that's why we're there. It's one of many funds that we manage at the foundation, and some of the other things we do, like provide scholarships here in the local community, provide behavioral health services, provide assistance to people who use our Hunterdon Regional Cancer Center. It's a lot of things that happen out of the foundation that's part of Hunterdon Health System. I don't think a lot of people in the area realize that we do. So 52 Reasons to Love a Vet is a very important part of that.
And correct me if I'm wrong, it somehow filtered down from Bob Wise to go to your organization?
Well, this started with Ella. This
no, I understand that, but she went to Bob Wise, and then somehow he put it into the foundation?
Bob is a great leader. He believes in serving this community wherever there is a need. This was a challenge presented to us, and he thought it should be a priority for the foundation. That's why 52 Reasons to Love a Vet is part of our foundation.
Now, is the primary purpose of the foundation to raise money for the medical center, or what?
We raise money at the foundation for projects such as 52 Reasons to Love a Vet. For our various service lines, we'll be going on a capital campaign next year. The hospital will go and build some new facilities. Those plans are coming into focus now, but we have a population here in the county that, quite frankly, is aging. I'm a perfect example really? Of that. I'm a 61-year-old who's raised my family here. My kids live elsewhere, but still in New Jersey. My wife and I love it here. We are choosing to stay here. But, of course, as we all get older, there are other health issues that intersect into our lives. And the hospital and the health system is changing to reflect those changing demographics.
You're young.
Thank you very much, Larry.
Compared to me, you're young. Ella, do you do any of the painting?
No, I actually designed the book, and I laid out the cards and did all the production work for it, but I did not do any of the artwork. I may do one for the next piece, though.
I was just thinking, why not? You know, you could be a famous artist. You know? But, all right, now, how do I word this? The artists, they have liberty to do pretty much what they want to paint?
Yes.
Or is there a guidelines or...
The guidelines were only based on size for shipping the art, so it okay. would be easier to ship so that they're all the same size. And the only person who I gave any kind of guidelines to was Victor Huaz, who did the cover of the book. I just didn't want anything gory. And I didn't tell him beyond that. I just didn't want anything that would be upsetting to look at. And because it would be on the cover of the book, it would be on the cover of the cards, it would be on the back of each of the cards. So that was it. Everybody else had carte blanche to do whatever they wanted as long as it was within the size parameters.
For you, those listening out there, the cover of the book is three GIs holding a flag, the American flag. You know.
And is it? What's the title of the book?
52 Reasons to Love a Vet.
Okay. Yeah. So it's all the same branding.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Do you... Go ahead.
No. Let's take a look at the book here so we can... This is all... Some of the artwork.
That's the first go-round. Some of the artwork... the new artwork is not included in that.
Right. Okay, right. So it all has the theme, as you said, military. Well, here's one. I see. So some of them relate to the cards itself. Okay, they're all...
Yes, those are all face cards.
Taken from the face cards.
Yes.
Right. Now... Right, not
it
all.
It certainly
52.
Has resonated because I can't
it's
imagine
gorgeous.
How tough it is to get a display at the Norman Rockwell Museum.
Yes, this is really, really beautiful. So they can get this through through your website?
Yes, 52reasonsloveavet.org.
Okay.
And that connects directly to the foundation, to the Hunterdon Healthcare Foundation.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Okay, would either of you, it doesn't matter who, speak to how vets apply for financial assistance for healthcare or educational services?
I'll let Ella deal with that since she developed the process.
Okay, there is an application online. Again, it's 52reasonstoloveavet.org, and the only premise is that the veteran must be a veteran in good standing and no longer in the military. And we haven't turned anybody down as of yet. So they can apply for up to $1,000 one-time grant for anything health or education related, whether that's copay, as Bill mentioned, or something for dental needs or mental health or books for college or anything like that. The money is not handed over to the veteran, though. It's gone from the foundation to either the doctor's office or the hospital where they're served or the educational facility. So it's not directly handed to the veteran.
Okay. And you mentioned mental health. How is that, how does that
handle?
If
someone wanted the money for therapy, would you send the money directly to the therapist?
To the therapist, yes.
Yeah, it goes right to the service provider, right. whoever that may be.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, because I know many of our vets are, they're not provided with adequate health or educational services or mental services of any sort.
Resources are certainly strained, and you'd only go up to the Lyons or the VA hospital in East Orange to see that firsthand.
Yeah, I got my own story about Lyons, but and I'm not condemning him. I mean, they do some good. Yes.
I'm sure they do.
I went up to apply for medical thing, and I was still working. But I figured when I retired, I wanted to have, this in place. They told me I made too much money. And I said, what? They said, well, yeah, you have a house. And they took the value of the house and my income. And they said, oh, you made too much money. I said, what's that got to do with being a vet? You know?
And what did that have to do with being a vet?
As far as I could figure, nothing.
So I says, okay, thank you, bye. Never went back, you know. And I know people that have it through there, you know, and they were making the same as me, and they owned the house. So I don't know. It just didn't sound like it was.
So after you retire, then your income would be lower, presumably, and maybe.
Well, yeah, but I still would own the house, and that would be.
That just disqualified you, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I mean. Yeah.
Veteran services to the uninitiated is probably a maze anyway. You've got the state veterans home. You've got, you know, various county services, but most people don't know how to navigate.
Right. Through. Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the biggest problems when the soldiers come back. They don't know how to navigate. They just, all they want to do is come back and see their family, so they're not really listening to that fire hose of information that's coming at them, and then they can't navigate the system. And the system is so convoluted, too.
And a lot of times, you know, a lot of the surveys that have been done, a lot of the vets who come back and have mental health issues or PTSD, that's post-traumatic stress disorder for those of you that don't know, they never saw combat. Biggest percentage of them never saw combat. And they figure that the reason for this is because in the military, everything's regimented. You get up at X time, you do this at X time, you do that at X time, you go jump, you know, jogging at that time, you come back, you do this, you do this, you do that. When they get discharged, there's nothing. Yeah, there's family if they have it and stuff, but there's no, well, you got to get up at 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 5:30 or whatever the case may be. You know, God bless you, Tracy.
trying to get away from the microphone.
But, you know, but there's no regimentation. So now they're out there, and now they have to do it themselves. And for the last how many ever years.
Your life's been completely structured.
Right. It's been completely structured, and now it's up to you. And a lot of them just can't handle it. And I understand that. You know, I understand it perfectly. The only difference between a lot of them and myself when I got out was I was already married. So it was like I had to, you know, I had to do something, you know, because we were living in my mother-in-law's house and I had to get out of there. And yeah, I love my in-laws. Don't get me wrong. They were like my second parents, but just, you know, to get out and get in our own apartment or whatever, you know,
And I think one of the issues now is that, I believe this is the case, your son did multiple tours of duty, which was not the case years ago, and the continuing exposure to you know, either battle situations or preparation for battle, and then it does take its toll on an individual. And
yeah, it does. It just, it's sad, but that's the way it is, you know.
How have your vets found out about you? Through the VA or?
No.
Through the website? Yeah.
Well, through the website, not through the VA, because the VA was kind of the impetus of starting all this. I don't think they'd be terribly pleased.
Okay.
But as much as we can, when we rolled it out, the Hunter Healthcare Foundation did a press release. When the show is traveling, there's press releases going out at that point. There is the website. There is also a Facebook page. And the hardest part is getting the word out. So this being on radio, it certainly helps. Hopefully there'll be some people listening who will have this need.
Okay, and you said the show is traveling now. Besides Norman Rockwell, where will it go next?
Well, right now it's at the New College of Florida in Sarasota. Oh. It has been at Bridgewater State University in Bridgewater, Massachusetts. It's been at Raritan Valley Community College, Cumberland County Community College, the Hunterdon Art Museum. I may be missing a few.
Okay, so that's and
there's
that's
that's one of the things we talked about a couple of weeks ago. There should be some great other either community college or other higher education facilities where returning veterans are returning to school, so there's a great nexus there. Other corporate facilities that, especially those that place an emphasis on hiring veterans, but this is just, Ella's created a great vehicle to bring attention to the problems that veterans face when they return home, and quite frankly, most people don't recognize that because these wars we've been fighting for a decade and a half have been kind of mostly hidden from view.
Yeah. How true. When you say show, would you explain what you mean by show?
Yes, the original artwork is traveling. So there's 35 pieces of original artwork that is, if somebody wanted to host a show, then that show would be on display for predetermined amount of time. They would be responsible for insurance, and they would be responsible for promoting it. There's also a rental agreement for the show, and it's a donation to the foundation for $1,000. So that's part of the way that we raise money as well.
And how would somebody go about doing this?
They just contact me through the website and say, I'd be interested in having the show come to fill in the blank.
And it could be a business, or it could be individuals.
It could be a business. It could be a town hall. It could be a college. It could be anywhere that they have space that they're insured.
Have you thought about, I don't know why I'm thinking of this, like having little Texas Hold'em parties or something, using cards?
Actually, we did talk about that at the beginning, but we didn't have the manpower to do it. But we really liked that idea with Bill's predecessor. Actually, we talked about that idea. But it hasn't happened yet, but we still might be able to do that.
There's a lot of potential here.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, something like that might be, you know. Well, do you have other volunteers besides you and your husband?
My husband and Bill.
So you're looking for
volunteers.
We're
a small but hearty bunch right now.
You could use more volunteers.
We could definitely use more volunteers.
All right. If you had a volunteers, what would you have them doing?
They could help man the social media. They could help with outreach. They could help writing press releases and things like that. Really, at this point, the most important thing that I see lacking is getting the word out, in both getting the word out to veterans and getting the word out to possible venues who might host the show.
How long is it going to be in Florida? And how long
till
does
the
it
end
usually
of December.
Stay? So it's a month usually?
It went at the end of October, and it's staying till the end of December, which is essentially their academic semester. And it's really up to each individual. Each individual venue and what they want to build around it. So the New College of Florida is building a lot of programming where they're having various talks come in. It's being hosted in a library. So they're having various speakers come in and talk about veterans, and whether it's faculty who are veterans or people from the community. So they have a lot of things throughout the semester that they're doing this
right.
semester.
So you always envisioned this as a national platform someday?
I would love for it to be down in D.C.,
There's some great venues down there. We have to see if we can utilize some of our respective contacts down there.
And I guess that's my next question. You know, how does the Medical Center Foundation, how do they go about helping setting up a show?
Well, we'd provide any of the support that Ella and Bob would need. I think from my expertise, which comes mostly from about two decades in the state's pharmaceutical industry, primarily as a lobbyist working in their trade association, suggested to Ellen and Bob some companies who seem to have a corporate social responsibility commitment towards veterans. And I say that as somebody who was a corporate social responsibility director, in my case working for Novo Nordisk down in Princeton, contacting some of those companies and saying, hey, we've got a great vehicle that will bring attention to certainly a worthy cause, and that certainly is 52 Reasons to Love a Vet, and certainly help them bring attention to the programs they're trying to put forth for veterans. I think collaboration has a great opportunity here.
So they could collaborate, using your word, with 52 Reasons to Love a Vet, with their own vet program that they're doing?
That could be a possibility. I think where a lot of nonprofits stumble is that they fail to see the value of collaboration or try to work in a silo. That's not the case with Ella and Bob. I think they're open to a variety of ideas. So I'm hoping some of my experience and the experience of some of my colleagues in the foundation who preceded me will help 52 Reasons to Love a Vet continue to grow.
Okay. Is there any potential policy changes coming about that you might want to speak about?
Well, there's not. There's hopeful. Part of the
and if they are, what are the changes? You know,
well, part of the intention is not just to raise money and to have the work be shown. It's also to raise awareness of the plight of veterans as they come home, and the fact that veterans should not be turned away. Honestly, in my opinion, veterans should have lifetime health coverage, period. If you serve, then that should be something that should be granted, period. And there should be no question asked and no eyebrows raised as to where you came down with a certain ailment. They should be covered no matter what.
I agree.
Period. And that's the policy change that I would like to see. I'm not sure how realistic that would be, but that is what I would like to see.
I don't think you'll ever get them to do it for life.
But if you're going to send them over, you're responsible for taking care of them when they come back, period.
You would think. You know, I mean, that would only make sense.
Yes.
But there's a lot of things that, you know, as much good as this country does, there's a lot that it doesn't do. You know, and unfortunate that it is that way. But, you know, well, it's just like even the organizations are not all interacting with each other. VFW, American Legion. When I came back and I got out of the service, I went to the VFW and they told me, oh, you can't join. I says, no, why not? Well, Vietnam wasn't a war.
Yeah, veterans of foreign wars. And unfortunately, Larry, when you were serving our country, I was probably a young teenager, and I saw how many Vietnam veterans, completely wrongly, were vilified when they came home because
yep.
It was an extremely unpopular war. You chose to honor your commitment to your country, but you and many of your colleagues were vilified. For that, I think there's a much greater appreciation for veterans today, but we're still not doing nearly enough that we could for them. And then if you're talking about changes in Washington, if there are changes to the Affordable Care Act, if there are changes to the Affordable Care Act that affect states, that affects the state's ability to help provide services, there could be this cascading effect, and it's probably not going to be pretty.
No. And I'm not condemning the VFW. That's just what it was at the time. But I belonged to the American Legion for many years now.
Vietnam was a police action. So.
Yeah. But now, in the last, I'm say about 10 years, they keep trying to get me to join them. You know, but you know, you didn't want me when I came back. I don't want you know.
No,
well, I'll stay with the American Legion.
No,
I'm knocking the VFW because they do a lot of good too. But you know,
but now they recognize that it was a war.
Yeah, exactly. You know, tell that to the 52,000 plus that didn't come back. You know, but you know, it's kind of sad. But you know, what are you going to do? That's the way it is. Is there anything that you guys are doing to affect or campaign for policy change?
Not yet.
Do you plan to?
Well, if we can get enough traction and enough voices heard, yes. I would like politicians to be aware of this and to I just really would like to see healthcare taken care of for the veterans, that they don't have to worry about climbing through a web of nonsense just to get the services they're due.
Yeah.
The very basic services they're due.
And that's the whole thing. It's even just the basic services, you know.
I mean, and something, MRSA is life-threatening. I mean, to turn somebody away who is in full-blown quarantine with open sores and say, not my responsibility. It's mind-blowing to me.
It just amazes me. You know, I just I can't fathom turning someone away with MRSA.
Right.
What
happened to first do no harm?
Yeah. I mean, you're turning this person away so they can infect other people or whatever, you know. I mean, that doesn't totally make any sense.
Yeah, untreated, that would be a death sentence.
Yeah, untreated, right. It is a death sentence, absolutely.
Well, what they had told us was they thought that the MRSA was situational from the rehab and that he should find a private rehab to go to. Well, once he's off my insurance, what private rehab was going to take him?
And even if one took them, how could he pay for it?
Right.
You know, is the other question, because if it's private, that's, you know, a little costly.
A little bit.
A little bit, you know. So, I mean, consequently, there was no way in the world he'd get, you know, pay for it.
Right.
So that's ludicrous. But I don't know. It just seems to me that, you know, there's so much that we could do more to help these people, vets, you know. It just amazes me that you go down New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, L.A. Biggest percentage of the homeless is vets. Why? Because they can't get help.
Right.
You know? And, you know, and they're on tough times, yeah, and they may need mental health facilities, or they may need physical help, you know, medical help, but they're not getting it.
Yeah, there's not a lot of help in saying, how do I become a civilian again after having this completely regimented life for a period of months or a period of years or decades?
Right, exactly. And, you know, there's so many vets that I know that live alone, Idaho, Montana, North Dakota, out in the middle of the boondocks, but they're by themselves, you know. They have a little cabin, you know, and that's it. That's where they live. Because they can't intermingle with the population or a bunch of people. They'd rather be alone. But they're not on the street. They are, you know, they hunt their food and, you know, but still they're alone. And it just bothers the daylights out of me because it shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't be.
You know, and unfortunately society doesn't accept a lot of them, vets either. When they come back, take two steps back, you know, and they don't reach out to help them. There's a lot of organizations that do. Yes, I'm not saying that, but there's not enough.
Right.
You know, when they take vets now, and guys do 2 and 3 and 4 tours in Iraq and Afghanistan and wherever hell else, and then they come back and everybody steps 2 steps back from them and doesn't give them the help that they need, that's pretty sad.
Yeah, and the wars we're still fighting don't get attention on a daily basis. And quite frankly, most people have forgotten about them. When we first went into Iraq in 2003, I mean, there was great public attention, great public support, but that's all dissipated. But we're still there. We're still in Afghanistan. We've still got a military presence in Kosovo. And young men and women are still returning from those places.
Right.
But it's out of the public view and out of the public eye. So organizations like 52 Reasons to Love a Vet are that reminder. And again, Ella and Bob have developed this wonderful vehicle of the artwork, the playing cards, things that we will use, things that people can see, bring attention to the issue. And then I think as we build that platform, we can work for those policy changes that are so important.
Right.
And should American society's commitments to its veterans be stronger than it is now? And I would argue that indeed it must be.
Yeah, I would think it has to be. You know?
And when you contrast that to after World War II, when they were all welcomed with open arms and they had all these loans and they got free and they went to college and there were jobs and it was just so, so different.
Housing, you know.
It was like a boom for them. Just
right.
The exact opposite now.
Right.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and it wasn't quite as good for Korea. Wasn't as bad as it is for Nam, but it
just
wasn't.
It keeps going downhill, I guess.
It has been. You know, World War II was way up, and then it started going down, and, you know. And it's a shame, you know. And the average public, they forget about that there's still thousands and thousands of soldiers and sailors and Marines and airmen and women and men who are over in these countries. And they come under fire and they lose their lives or parts of their body or...
They come back totally
Or they come back
different.
Totally different than when they went.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's... When someone can join the service at 17, I did. And at 17, if you can get shot at and you can lose your limbs or whatever, or mind or whatever the case may be, or you can come home in a casket, there has to be something that this country can do for these young men and women. And they don't, or it's not enough, put it that way.
Or whatever there is, the soldiers don't know how to navigate finding
it. How to get
it.
To it, yeah. Right, exactly.
It's a maze, it's a labyrinth trying to find the end to things that they should just be automatically privy to.
Right, right.
There's no real great guide or credible insight into accessing veteran services.
Right.
And there's a shame in our process mm-hmm. that no one seems to have ever addressed. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we had on a young man who was a Iraq and Afghanistan vet, and he works for Wars for Veterans. Was it?
I can't remember.
I think it was Wars for Veterans, and it's a call in.
Okay.
And they direct vets to
help
and so on and so forth, but even he was saying.
You but know. You have to know that number to call.
But you have to know the number to
and
call.
It sounds like it could be a good partnership for you.
You know, mm-hmm. and it would be, you know. In fact, I have it at home. And I have his, you know, name and everything at home, which I can give you.
Okay.
I can email it to you. Obviously, I don't have it with me, but I do have it home. And he was very good, very caring, because mm-hmm. he was a vet.
Yeah.
You know, he served over there. And, you know, it's... if somebody calls, they don't have to give their name, you know, that sort of thing. They can stay anonymous, and he can direct them to, you know, it's a whole organization thing.
Right. Several people, and they just can talk and talk and talk. So
right.
they can check in every day on this
which I'm sure is
phone
very
line.
Helpful.
Yeah, really
right.
good.
Right.
So, Al, I wanted to ask you, can you tell us how some of the grants have been used?
Sure. Let's see, there was a gentleman in Lambertville who was a Vietnam vet also who wanted, this is kind of mind-boggling to me, his weekends were not covered by hospice. He was in hospice, and he wanted to end his life with his dog at home with his dog. So for whatever reason, his weekends were not covered, so we covered up to $1,000 of hospice care for the weekends. There was a student at Raritan Valley Community College who needed assistance with his books. There's actually a father and a son, both were veterans, and they both needed some very serious dental care. It's really whatever people need we've kept the parameters pretty wide open. So if it's health related, whether that's dental or mental health or anything, or there was another woman who needed, she was behind in paying her hospital bills for her child when her child was born. So the copay for that, we covered the copay. So it's as long as it fits within the parameters of education or health related needs, then, and they are in good standing. We haven't said no. And
that's great.
We're looking forward to that being
How
a problem.
How could his weekend not be covered?
I don't know. It makes no sense at all to me.
To me either. It's totally ridiculous.
Yeah, there's probably a certain number of hours they're
but, you
they're
know,
granted.
It's like, is he supposed to do? Go on the street for the weekend and then come back on Monday? You know, it just doesn't make any sense. When you said that, my mind is boggled. I'm not at a loss for words. And the words I want to say, I can't say on the air. You know?
Yeah, there's any variety of situations that a veteran or any of us could encounter in our lives that would completely upset the apple cart. So
sure.
I think that's why Ellen and Bob have purposely kept the parameters wide open, because there's any number of challenges that a veteran can face and might need some help with.
Yeah, and, you know, it just seems like that vets don't get as much help as the average citizen, in my thinking. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but...
And some veterans may be reluctant to take help because they've been used to being self-sufficient.
Right, and some are, yeah, obviously. But it's, you know, when someone makes the decision that they need help, then it has to be there for them.
Right.
You know, otherwise, you know, they will, it'll be a long day before they call back again, you know.
Right.
So, you know, it's sad, but it's true.
They just keep getting more isolated.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's four of us sitting in this room talking there. I'm sure there have been many periods in each of our individual lives where we needed somebody else to boost us up. I know that's been the case in my life, and I've been appreciative when people have stepped in. So we're trying to step in for the veterans community, starting in this county, but I think really making 52 Reasons to Love a Vet a statewide resource.
Right. Sure. Right. Well, I can give you, you know, like you said, you know, things in your life, you know, four kids and a mortgage and car payments and hospital bills and taxes and not have a job, you know. So I can live with, you know, I can relate to that very well, you know. But it's sad, you know, because it really is.
Ella, what has been the reaction of some of the artists that you've contacted?
Actually, every single artist that I've asked said yes, without hesitation. They were actually very honored to be included. Many of them were all not expecting to have their work hanging in the Rockwell as well, so they were very pleased with that result as well. But since the first round, like I said, some artists have approached me. Milton Glaser, as I said, will be in the next one. Ted Lewin, who is a children's book illustrator, his brother served in World War II. He approached me, although I do know him. He said that he wanted to be a part of this, and he just found it to be an incredibly humbling experience to be part of this type of show. Another artist, actually we have two artists that are local to Hunterdon County. Joe Cherardello lives in just outside of Frenchtown, and Paul Jenis lives here in Flemington. I believe he's in Raritan Township. Joe Cherardello was in the original set, and Paul is in the second set, so his is not in the... But Paul has done a lot of politicians for the state of New Jersey, government portraits. His work is beautiful and speaks for itself. But every single artist that I spoke to never even hesitated. They said, absolutely, I would be honored to do this. There was one artist in the original, she's Japanese, Yuko Shimizu, and when she did her work, which was a very moving piece, I also asked every artist to supply me with a write-up of either if they just wanted to include just their bio or if they wanted to write something about what the piece meant or doing something for this show. That's what is included in the book. And it took a while for me to get Yuko's write-up. And finally, when she sent it to me, she said, it's because I'm Japanese and we are not allowed to go to war, and I don't believe in war, but I do believe in supporting veterans. So that's why I did this. So this long email she sent to me, she says, and I want people to support people like your son, but I don't believe in war. Well, I don't believe in war either, but I do believe in supporting veterans.
Yeah, of course.
So what she wrote to me in this email, I turned it around, I edited it, I said, can I use this for the book? And she said yes. And so she was just very hesitant to put it into words because of her culture.
Right.
But in the new book, there's also Hans Jensen, who's from England, who is a Star Wars illustrator. So there's people from other countries as well that are also participating.
I think a lot of us don't believe in war, but that, you know,
that's not what this is about.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not pro-war. This is pro-veterans.
No, absolutely not. You know, I agree. But, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know. Well, I'm sure there's people out there that believe in it, but I know a lot of people that don't, you know. And you know, and a lot of veterans don't, you know.
Right.
But, you know.
But this is not what this program is about. The program
is
about supporting the veterans.
A lot of veterans feel that they have, an obligation to support their country. And, you know, go into service and do whatever they have to do. And, you know, and hopefully they come out and they live a great life. But a lot of them don't, you know, and that's the problem. And that's why it's great to have, you know, organizations like yourself helping them. Because they don't always get the help they need.
Right.
And, you know, even though they deserve it, they don't always get it. You know, and that's the sad part. In the last couple minutes we have... is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to cover?
Well, I'm just saying, I think 2018 is going to present a lot of opportunity. There's a great platform that Ella and Bob have built from their own personal circumstance. I think it's going to be a role of the foundation to increase that awareness. And again, I hope my personal experience or the personal experience of those who preceded me in the foundation working with Ella and Bob can increase that awareness, because I think there's some great work going on. And I think as we've been discussing here for the last 45 or 50 minutes or so, the need is clearly there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you go on 52reasonstoloveavet.org, you can order cards, books, or prints just in time for Christmas.
Okay. And it's 52reasonstoloveavet.org, right?
Yes.
Okay. And if they go there, then they can click on all the things
all the
that
artwork
are available?
Is up there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a video up there of me explaining the whole process of how this came about when the show was on display at New Jersey City University. There's a lot of information up there. The application is up there for veterans if they would like to apply for assistance.
Okay.
It's a fairly thorough website.
That's great. I can't tell you how pleased we've been to have you here. Both of you. It's been
pleasure.
A pleasure.
Yes, thank you.
It's been our pleasure.
Much.
Thank
and,
you.
And, you know, you can rest assured we're going to come have you come back. Okay.
I'd be happy to.
Okay.
Like to be back in a few months and talk about some recent successes.
That's right.
Well, there you go. See, that's the whole point.
We'll be happy to give you an update. And as somebody who spent 6 years of my career earlier in my life working for the State Chamber, it's great to be on a radio program sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
There you go. And when we went on 7 years ago, it was the only chamber-sponsored radio in the country. So I don't know if it
really?
Still is. Yeah, I don't know if it still is, but mm-hmm. it was then when we went on 7 years ago. So, but I've been doing it since the beginning. So you know,
that's impressive.
Yeah, it was the only, you know, chamber sponsored radio. So, oh well. You know, remember, folks, we'll see you same time, same station next week. And remember, mental health really does matter. Have a good week.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain